listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to a new week, a new month. Today is Monday, May 4th, and we're here with an overcast day, which is welcome after a few hot days. But yesterday was nice.
It was nice. I thought the whole weekend was pretty nice.
Yeah, the weekend was nice, but last week was a little hot. But at any rate, who cares? A lot to talk about today, but we do have a guest.
We do.
Yeah. A special guest, of course.
Yes. And, the specialist.
Yeah. And... So we'll try and keep it short before we bring him in.
Sam, it's also Star Wars Day.
It is?
Yeah, May the 4th be with you.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
It's a real day.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I didn't make that up. I don't even care about Star Wars.
I thought it was a joke or something.
No, it's a real thing.
It's a good joke.
It's real.
May the 4th be with you. Wow, I like that.
We have to be part of the conversation. That's what all the kids are talking about today.
That's true. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I saw the trailer. It wasn't bad at all. But then you're not really into Star Wars, right?
No interest.
Yeah, I know. I don't mind it. I mean, I sort of grew up with it, so I kind of don't mind it. But obviously, I don't get as fanatic about it as some other people.
Right.
You know, I don't get all these nerds. You know, I mean, going like. I mean, it's like, you know, they worship movies. You know, I mean, what is this?
That's what they love.
Yeah. Whatever, you know.
Can't judge them. That's what they do.
Yeah. I guess when you're young.
Hey, you go to your conventions, they go to theirs.
That's true, yeah.
Yep.
But mine are not as nerdy.
I don't know. Mm. If somebody could label that something else.
That's true.
So, for all those that missed it, Sam, you attempted to go to, what was it, the 420 carnival or something?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that wasn't a convention, but...
But isn't it, like, kind of, essentially...
It's not what I thought about when you said convention, you know, but now I understand what you're saying. Okay.
It's a group of people that do one thing, so...
Right, okay, right.
Shared interests.
Okay, so I guess I'm nerdy that way.
Exactly.
All right. So, did you have a nice, interesting weekend?
I did. I had a great weekend.
Really?
Yes. I went to jazz at LACMA on Friday.
Oh, you said you wanted to go.
Yes. And I went with two girlfriends, Lauren and Kate.
Uh-huh.
And then we just hung out after. And then Saturday, I went to yoga, as always. And then I went to watch the fight at a friend's house.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, did you like the fight?
Oh, I didn't really care about that at all.
You didn't even watch it?
No, I watched. I faced the direction of the TV.
Okay.
Which is my tip to all girls. Mm. You just do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Seem interested. You could meditate, literally, like, while watching that TV.
Really?
But just be there. Yeah. Be present around other people. So, and don't be that annoying person that's like, what's happening? Or like on their phone the whole time. Like, just look at the TV.
Right.
It'll be over soon. Yeah. But yeah, no, I had a lot of fun with friends. And then, yesterday ran the 5K for the Chardonnay run.
Oh, what's the Chardonnay run?
It is, I don't know, actually. It's just about wine and it's a 5K.
Okay.
There's no charitable component. It's just people that like wine that did a 5K and then you got a glass of wine at the end.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. At least we know you're in shape for 5 miles. Maybe
no, it's 3 miles. It's like three.
I'm sorry.
It's actually,
5K.
Yeah, just 3 miles.
5K. Yeah. That's right. But it could prepare you for the marathon.
It could.
Would you consider the marathon? No, huh?
No.
Too much.
I don't have any interest in that. I don't even like running. Mm. And I didn't practice or stretch or anything really yesterday. We just sort of winged it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a great time doing it. We filmed it on Periscope while we were running.
Uh-huh. That's
cool. We did a couple interviews with people that also ran.
Uh-huh.
We obviously drank our wine. It was pretty early.
While you were running?
No, no. It was after.
Oh, okay.
At the finish line, they give you a empty glass, and then you bring it into the, like the area where they have you set up, like with bars and a stage. There, like a really good band was playing, and then different vendors and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
How long does a run like that take?
Well, we are expert athletes, so it took us only 35 minutes.
Really?
Which is not that quick for 3 miles, but.
Well, that's,
listen, without stretching on a Sunday and without being a runner, that was pretty.
Yeah, good. That's a long run. I would never attempt it.
I mean, some people take hours, but
yeah, that's true. But yeah, some people like running. I guess you have to like running to get into these things. No, I mean, who would want to run for 30 minutes if
people if that work to, out?
I guess, yeah.
It's a challenge if you want a challenge. Yeah. If it's like not something. See, the thing for us is we don't really do those things. So when our friend mentioned to us wine is involved,
right?
We're like, okay. Well, if we're going to do a 5K, we might as well do this one.
Right.
So we did it as a challenge, and it was a cute like collaboration we did with our friend JJ, who has a show called Tom Girl TV. Mm-hmm. She's like a Tom girl, and she talks about sports and fashion and that stuff. So we did it with her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It was awesome.
Yeah. I guess just getting together and you know, yeah, drinking wine. It's like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow for you.
Exactly.
Right?
Plus, Lauren and I really like to show people we're not sloths that just drink. We also run and then drink.
I see.
So, you know, okay, balance. Balance is key.
That's a good public service to let people know that.
Thanks. I try. That's your Monday tidbit of information.
Yeah. Well, just a few minutes. I wanted to bring up the fact that, well, a couple things.
The princess was born.
The princess was born, but
and
that's not
named.
What I'm going to talk about. Oh. I had a sort of like a traumatic experience yesterday when I went to the party, to that singles party.
Oh, yes.
I went to that white party.
Yes. What was traumatic about it?
What was traumatic about it, Jen, is I discovered a lot about myself, and it's not good things.
Okay. That's okay, though. The best thing to... It's... You need to be aware to be able to even fix things.
Absolutely. And I'm glad I went, because it sort of like got me thinking, got me off my ass a little bit.
Oh, good. What did you learn from this experience?
What I learned from this experience, first of all, is that I shouldn't go where young people are, because... well, but again, that's not the deepest thing, but I'm getting to that in a minute.
Okay.
They said there were going to be 500 people. I think maybe a couple hundred, you know.
Uh-huh.
It looked like a nice size wedding or something, you know,
oh,
by the pool of the Viceroy Hotel in Santa Monica. Beautiful people, everybody dressed in white, great. And so I'm going in there and stuff, and they give you a wristband and go and find someone with the same number, and you guys will win a prize, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to go and start looking for people with my number on it. So I try to mingle. I went, got a drink, and then there were like a couple taco stands there. So
why would they have tacos when you're wearing white?
Why not?
Because all the salsa will get everywhere.
Oh, well, they didn't have red salsa. They actually had like white salsa and,
good
some,
for them,
and some mango.
There you
kind
go.
Of salsa, yeah.
Good.
But so I just figured this keeps me busy for a few minutes until I get a feel of what's going on,
mm-hmm,
right? So I'm realizing everybody's talking to somebody. I mean, there's no way. So the first thing I realize is you do not go alone to these places if you're a guy. If you're a girl and you're attractive, you have no problem, because within 1 second you just walk in, bam, you have people to talk to. But when you're a guy, it's a different thing. So you have to go with someone, because then you stick out like a sore thumb. I saw a couple of guys also alone, and that were like... There were like older guys too, like around my age. Not the majority of the party was 20s and 30s. I mean, you could tell.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some early 40s, but that's about it, you know. So, yeah. So then I'm in line, and then this woman goes, "Oh, what's your number?" And I'm looking at her like, "Wow, she's beautiful." I'm like, "Well, my number's 2." She's like... So then she got distracted by somebody else on the line that goes, "Oh, we have the same numbers because we're in line and we realized we have the same number." I don't know. They distracted her. Bam, she's gone.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, so I figured it's people don't hold their attention. And we've talked about
right.
that too. You know, when there's just so many other choices, people don't give you the time of day.
Right.
So then a couple of times I was approached by women that are older than I am. I don't know what the hell they were doing there. But, so I just kind of moved on. So, but I got to tell you, man, I stood there and I felt like I was going to cry.
Oh, no.
Yes, I felt that bad.
That's awful.
But I was thinking, am I going to come up clean with this on the radio? And I thought, you know what, I should, because I bet you there's other people out there
right.
that have difficulties. Because, I mean, I haven't been on the dating scene in years. You know, so not only am I a different age, but it's a different time.
Yeah.
So people behave differently. You know, the digital age, everything, you know, all this online dating and stuff. So I'm there. And, yeah, the reason I fell down and said there's all these beautiful women here and there's no way I can get any of them. So I may, it may not be true, but that's the way I felt. So the bottom line, Jen, is I need to work on my confidence, being that I'm new on the dating scene and older, and I have to deal with it. And it's hard for me because, you know, and when you ask me, you know, you wonder why it's hard for me to deal with my age. It's because of these things. I realize there's some things I can't do anymore.
Right. Well, that's okay.
It's not okay.
Well, I mean,
I want to go to parties with 30-year-olds, you know?
Wow.
I love it. I love it.
You can
you know?
Go.
I mean, you guys are full of life, you know? I mean, you go to a party with 50-year-olds and it's a whole different ball game. Okay.
Maybe and, 40s. We should maybe shoot for our 40s here.
Right. Well, yeah, early 40s, but I didn't see anybody there.
No.
They all seemed really young. So, yeah. So, you know, when you have to compete with all these beautiful young guys and stuff, there's just no fucking way. So
you learned so that you need I to learned, go places with somebody else.
Right.
And also to work on your confidence.
To work on my confidence. And I think I'm going to take up some therapy.
Great.
Yeah, I don't think this is something that those dating experts can help me with because I think it's deeper than that.
Yes, it definitely
And you know
is.
What? I got to admit one thing, and let me tell you this. When and these are big things to admit on the radio.
They but, are big things.
You know, but I don't care because in my radio show, I want to help people.
Great.
And people can relate to you and stuff, you know. So I can tell you one thing, and what occurred to me is it's not the age. And that's why I need to go to therapy because
yeah.
I went through the same shit when I was 30.
Oh.
When I was 34, I had just gotten divorced, and I wanted to get away. And I lived in Vegas at the time, so I'd lived there only for a few months, so I didn't really have anybody to go with. Alone. I went alone on a fucking cruise, imagine. But people said, no, you know, it's young people like you, you know, and there's a lot of singles and stuff. Cool, so there's a lot of singles, but I didn't do anything. I didn't make the effort.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And when I felt this anxiety yesterday, I just couldn't believe it. You know? I mean, it didn't immobilize me. I was already immobilized. But the anxiety was amazing, you know? And I'm not used to that. So I felt, you know what? I better leave. I'm not having fun.
Well, hey, you got a lot out of it, though, for yourself.
Yeah, in 45 minutes, yeah, that well, I was there.
That's good.
Nah,
that's a
know.
Positive. If you got something out of the experience, it's
yeah,
still
I
positive.
Did get something out of the experience. It wasn't
what you expected.
Yeah, exactly. I would have preferred something else, but you know, and that's just the thing. And the reason I'm saying don't go alone is because everybody's talking to somebody. You know, you can't just you don't want to just stand there not talking to anybody, even if you're going to meet someone. But you know, it's hard to walk to groups. It's really hard to walk to groups and, you know, especially when it's a pickup place and stuff. You
yeah.
know? So, I don't know. But I need some training on that. So, we'll see. Maybe some therapy would be good. And maybe some dating counseling, too. I don't know.
You don't know.
You never know. Except that I can tell you that's not going to help. Because every time I read about all the things that they say, I'm like, yeah, this is bullshit. You know, this is written by a woman who never had to approach another woman.
Well, you could read Steve Harvey's books. I love Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
I swear by Steve Harvey.
Really?
So, yeah, he's the
okay.
best. He can do no wrong.
But he said, but his book is something like Think Like a Woman or something, right?
No. Oh, yeah. It is Act Like
yeah,
a Man, Think Like a Lady or something like that.
Yeah.
No, he probably has other books. But I think first you have to work on you before you can actually date.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
I have to agree.
And really, women are attracted to confidence, humor, and you listening to us.
Right. But
that's like three magical things.
Right.
Oh, and you have to have a job.
Right. But you see, I have all these things. The point for me is, you see, I don't need to know how to carry a conversation. I don't need to know how to be funny. I don't need to learn how to talk. I mean, I have a million things to talk about. It's breaking the ice that's the problem for me. It's walking up and knowing that I may get rejected. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Once I break the ice, man, that's it. You know? I mean, that girl yesterday with the number that came up to me mm-hmm. in line, if she hadn't been distracted, yeah, I would have had no problem because the ice was already broken.
Right.
I could have talked to her. I could have, you know. So I just didn't stick around to see if any more of this is going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, also, maybe those events aren't your thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they're not. Anyway, we spent too much time on this. I just had to bring this up because it was sort of like an enlightenment for me. So, like I said, I'm glad I went, but things are going to be different. I have to learn to accept some things, and I think I have a problem with that too, is accepting some things, like that my parents are getting older and all that stuff. So, but anyway, you see, Jen, so you don't have to worry about it for, what, 25 years?
Listen, I have my own worries.
Yeah.
I have my own worries.
Yeah, all right. All right, Jen, well, let's go ahead and introduce our guest. You invited him to the show, and this is a friend of yours, I imagine. And go ahead and introduce him to us.
Today we have Julian Jorgensen in our studio.
Julian, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks.
Yeah, get close to the mic.
Up there, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, this is good.
Thanks.
This is good.
That's great.
So how long have you guys been friends? Do you know?
A couple years now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're good friends. I mean, you've been around each other for a while.
We have a couple war stories.
We do.
Really?
We share a couple.
Too bad you weren't documenting those back in the day.
I know.
Those would have been handy.
I know. I should have had a recorder on me at all times.
You should have.
I know.
Yeah. So you guys have been friends from the beginning, or was there romance before that?
No, we met, actually, if we're going to be honest, we met through my ex-boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Who's his friend.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wow. And the ex-boyfriend didn't mind? I mean, this was after you broke up, right?
No. We met, like, while I was dating him, so we'd all hang out.
I see. So you were all friends, and it started as friends.
Us?
Yeah. So it started and stayed as friends.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's all I'm saying.
It started as friends.
Still friends.
Still friends.
Yeah, still friends.
You see, and that's awesome.
Yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
some people say, you know, men and women can't be friends. But I think they can. But I don't know. I won't bring this up. But sometimes one person does want to go further than that.
Right.
In friendships and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Not always the case.
Yeah, not always the case. Right. I mean, I'm not going to put you guys on the spot, but, you know, I mean, I wouldn't blame if you were attracted to each other. You both are very beautiful people, so.
Well, thanks.
There you go. How long have you been in L.A. now?
I've been here for about 5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
And where did you move from?
I was in New York before that.
Oh, really? New York City?
Yeah, New York City.
Oh,
Long Island, actually. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So is that where you're born and raised?
No, I'm actually from Vancouver, Canada.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I kind of bounced around. I ended up going to college in Boston, so that's what brought me.
Oh,
to the States, and I've never left.
Really? That's
honorary
cool.
American now. Yeah.
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 Vancouver, huh? I mean,
yes, sir.
How can you move away from Vancouver? It's so beautiful there. Isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, when it's not raining.
Yeah, exactly. And it's smaller, right? I mean, you don't have the opportunities that you have in New York or L.A.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, just for entertainment in general or music or whatever it is you're pursuing, I just, you know, there's definitely a bigger...
Yeah.
It just feels bigger. The dream feels real, you know, down here.
Yeah. So what made you decide to go to Boston for college?
I used to play hockey. So in my past life, I was a hockey player.
Really?
And it brought me to college. And then when my body just couldn't endure that level of, you know, playing. So I ended up stopping and pursuing music in college.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a pretty big person. I mean, you're good for hockey, right?
No. This is like small and small.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
Well, so what am I going to say, right? You're small, right? What did you take in college?
Just like a lot of drinking and getting messed up and goofing off and napping.
What did you take, dude?
I was a business major.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because all the hockey guys did business, so the teachers kind of like hooked you up, and that was like the thing. I didn't even know what I wanted to take.
Yeah,
I wanted to be a teacher, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I was going to be a teacher.
How old were you when you went to college? Right after high school?
No. I played junior hockey in Canada till I was like 21. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was like an old freshman in college.
I see.
I was the old guy in the freshman dorm
exactly.
Selling beer, out of like, you know, sneaking it up in a hockey bag to the third floor.
Yeah. That's funny. So did you ever get to do anything with a business degree?
I mean, I guess I'm applying it now. Mm-hmm. Essentially, I'm starting to take it a little more seriously as far as, like, I did have some education in that, so in management. And
yeah, it's one of the more practical majors to take in college.
Yeah.
I mean, as opposed to, like, liberal arts and stuff, which is hard to apply
yes.
and make money.
Right.
At it.
Yeah, well, I was an ethics minor as well. So, like, it was just this oil and water thing of business. And it's been, like, me my whole life, you know. It's just a contradiction, a walking contradiction of values. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, so at what point did you decide you wanted to be a teacher?
Well, I mean, I think that was just like in my freshman year, I was like, I wanted to be a teacher,
right?
If I had the choice.
Because it's like so cool to see the person standing there and conveying knowledge to everyone, right? Is that what appealed to you?
Well, I think I like the Dead Poets Society or something.
Oh,
I always
thought
I could maybe be that kind of teacher, but but I'm not a teacher.
Yeah.
I mean, now I teach kids musical things, like, so I feel like I can do that in that capacity.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So music is a big part of your life.
Yeah, it's a huge part.
Has it always been?
Definitely. Yeah, since I was a kid. Yeah.
I know. Me too, man. I can't, you know, sometimes I can't go to sleep because I'm like so involved in the music that I just don't want to stop, you know?
Right.
It's like, it's amazing how it can nourish the soul, you know, music.
Absolutely.
And so although I never did anything professional with it, music has always been part of my life, you know, so I can totally relate. And I think a lot of people love music, you know. It doesn't matter what kind, but it does things to the brain and to the body, I think.
No, absolutely. I mean, the earliest memories, you know, of your father or your mother's love for music kind of influences you. So I think, like, the, you know, the first earliest memories of my dad driving me to kindergarten or whatever it was, and it'd be pouring rain, and he'd tell me the story, the Superman story, which was this, like, heroic tale of Superman saving Lois Lane. And and in the background, it'd be raining, and there'd be the Doors playing, and the end would be just jamming. You
really?
Know? So there was this, like, hopeful, beautiful story with this incredibly, like, dark, depressing song. So I was like, you know, set me off sort of, you know, down the career.
So at that point, did you start, and because Jen was telling me about comics and all this stuff that you're into, right?
Yeah.
So that's probably when it sort of like melted into you.
That's actually
right.
That's actually it. That's crazy.
I mean, music left an impact on you, and the comics did too.
That's totally
So your dad actually told you the story before you read the book?
Well, yeah, it was popular at the time, the Superman movies.
Right.
Yeah. So,
oh, the movies. Okay. Yeah.
So it was the movies, the first movie that I'd seen, you know, where he, like, saves her along the railroad tracks. And for some reason, he just told the story so great. So it was one of those ones, you know, tell me again.
Yeah.
And then it went, like, a couple of years too long.
Right.
You know, went into, like, you know, and he's like, you're getting a little old for the Superman story.
Yeah.
So kind of, you had to put the brakes on around 7, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So, and then you moved to New York City. Why did you move there? Long Island, wherever you were there?
Yeah, well, I had a band in Boston, and essentially it wasn't, you know, it was a college band, so we were just doing covers and hanging out.
It wasn't called Aerosmith or anything.
No. We were playing like some of the dive bars that they, you know, they prided themselves that Aerosmith had played there, and Godsmack, which was a band that was popular at the time. So we were playing like little dive bars that they used to play at. But so my singer had met a manager in New York, and I was selling Yellow Page advertising out of college, just having the worst time, and, you know, looking for a reason to just leave and never come back. So I got a call. He's like, I met a manager in New York and, you know, looking to build a band, and why don't you come down? So I literally drove, like, U-turned on, you know, the highway and moved to New York.
So you moved for music, right?
Yeah, to pursue starting the band.
Awesome. So at what point did you decide, or was there a conscious decision to say, I'm actually going to pursue this seriously and maybe there'll be a career out of this?
I mean, I think that was it, you know?
Really?
Well, it's just those little moments where, like, I had gone down, and it's like when you meet somebody that actually, like, you can connect with, like, on the manager, who's still my friend to this day, who lives in New York. I mean, he lives in L.A. here, so, and actually, Jen knows him as well. But that guy believed in something, or he saw something in me, like, that essentially no one had cultivated or had, like, talked about. So there was this level of connection that I hadn't felt. And then I think when you feel that type of connection, you just kind of gravitate towards it.
Right.
And it wasn't like this is a business. It was like, you know, I'd been part of hockey teams and I was just like, well, this is a team I want to start.
Right.
This is going to be my coach or my manager, and, you know, let's go from there. So.
Yeah, very cool. So did you guys you put together a new band in New York?
Yeah, well, it was three of the members from college.
Okay.
And then we added a new guy.
I see.
Who's now my roommate and
Oh, wow.
Sort of business
partner. And what kind of music did you guys play?
We were a hard rock band, so we were influenced by the bands of the time, like the Deftones and and Korn and Seven Dust. And so, yeah, we play that kind of music, hard, heavy, fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
And what do you play?
I play guitar.
Do you?
Yes, sir.
Oh, cool. I've played the guitar all my life, too. Yeah.
Nice.
Except, well, all my life. I've owned the guitar all my life, but I haven't played in years. I try to pick it up again, but you know what the problem is? When I picked up the guitar for the first time, I was 13 years old. I wanted it for the exclusive purpose of being able to sing and accompany my singing.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't so much that I wanted the guitar, but I wanted the accompaniment so I could sing. So, you know, as times evolved and everything, you know, I mean, so as a young kid, you know, teenager in the 70s and stuff, the guitar was really the only thing I had. But then, you know, into the 90s and the 2000s, we started having like karaoke and stuff, you know. And suddenly you realize, hey, I can sound like I'm singing with a band, you know. So the guitar is not enough for me. So I started to get into that. And now the guitar doesn't seem to be enough for me. I have to have the drums. I have to have the bass and all that stuff. So I might as well, you know, either get into a band or just not do it at all.
You should. Aerosmith. Yeah. You doing Aerosmith covers?
Yeah.
Is that what you like?
Yeah.
What
well, I can't get that high, but someone is... Yeah, Dream On, Nobody Can Sing, you know. Yeah. But some of the songs, some of the songs are
fine, cool. Sam, if you want, I'll be in a band with you.
Thank you.
Basically what he's asking.
Right, I got it. I get what you're putting down.
Yeah. What do you play, Jen?
Singing. I play singing.
Do you?
So you guys would be a duo, like a Sonny and Cher type thing?
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Now, do you, I didn't realize that. Do you actually, I mean, do you like to sing?
I love to.
Yeah, you go out of your way to sing sometimes?
Oh, I go out of my way all the time to sing.
Really?
When people don't want to hear it.
Oh, really?
No, I grew up taking singing lessons. I played the guitar, I played the piano. I mean, I ditched all of those things.
Wow.
And then apparently I got like nodes on my throat and that's why my voice is so deep. I used to be a soprano. Now I'm probably like...
Wow.
Deeper than you, both of you.
Really?
Yeah. So now I just sing like to myself or with the radio in the car or karaoke.
Yeah.
Or when I'm drunk when people don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Apparently I've been told that my singing voice when I'm drunk is not one for ears.
Our favorite thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Drunk singing.
Unsolicited singing. Yeah. Wasted singing.
World's worst voice.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, but I'm still available for that band.
Yeah. I was deemed with the world. Grade four, I remember like we were doing like a Christmas carol singing thing with a choir and the teacher told, she was just like, you're going to want to sit this one out. Like literally, so that actually traumatized me. I mean, for like life up until recently.
Yeah.
You know, and I finally, and my dad, I remember like spilling the beans to my dad. I'm having this like, I guess midlife crisis maybe for me, you know, which it wasn't, but like whatever. It was just like one of those times when, and so I was talking to my dad and he's like, well, what were you goofing off in class? Like, were you being a punk? Like, were you? And then it all kind of came back to me. So I had this like 20 years of, you know, feeling like maybe this teacher had ostracized me and I was traumatized for this thing. And then I realized that I was being a complete ass in class.
Really?
Probably. And she probably, that was the whole reason. I was just horsing around. So talk about acceptance, right?
Yeah, there you go. So, so that's cool. Now, so are you still in a band?
Yeah, I still play.
And is that the same band you had in New York?
Yeah.
Or is... Oh, really? Band. So you guys moved here, all of you?
Yeah. Well, a few of us, a couple of us did. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what prompted you to move?
What prompted me? Go west. Well, actually, we moved in 07 before we actually had a record deal. Mm-hmm. The whole band moved here, and we lived in Hermosa in like a two-bedroom apartment with seven people just stacked on top of each other.
It's rock and roll.
It was so rock and roll. We were on like, I think it was like 17th in Hermosa, like that, just right in the perfect area.
Uh-huh.
We had nothing, no money, no record deal. We had self-financed a record before that and just toured for 2 years on our own kind of dime and sweat equity. And so we all moved out here trying to make it,
you know,
and we did to some, you know, to
really?
That extent.
Wow,
yeah, we all sort of,
cool.
The Secret was very popular at the time.
Uh-huh.
So we would watch like this type of thinking, you know?
Uh-huh.
So we were kind of a Zen hard rock band living on the beach, which kind of influenced us and helped us like just kind of attain what we needed to attain.
Wow.
So, but I fell in love with it. So I fell in love with the vibe, the lifestyle. I actually have always wanted to be in LA. So I kind of looked at it as an opportunity to sort of stake claim and come out.
Cool. So in the beginning, you were doing cover songs, but then when you started the new band, you guys were doing original stuff?
Yeah, no, yeah. The covers was in college, and then when we went to New York, we actually just started writing original music.
Original stuff.
Yeah, that's when we created Revelation Theory, which was, you know, subsequently the band that I'm in now. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It's called Revelation Theory?
Yeah, it was originally Revelation Theory, and it was Revelation Theory. And then basically we got signed to a major label, and they're like, you know, why don't you guys drop the elation, you know? Why don't you guys, you know, fans are calling you. You know, it was a total, like, record exact kind of thing. And we were, you know, we made a lot of those decisions to sort of shift and pivot. And
fine-tune and stuff.
So we thought. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So you guys actually got a record deal?
Yeah, we ended up signing to Interscope. We actually had two. We signed to an indie label in 05, Century Media, which we're on now, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's full circle. We're back on the first label we were on.
Really?
But then we signed to Interscope Records, which was our sort of major push and opportunity.
Wow, how cool, man. So how do you, for people that want to know, how do you get noticed in the first place? Because there's just so many bands out there.
There's just so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, what do you think gave you the break? How did you get together with that record company? How did it work for you?
It was a mixture of two things, I think, for us, is that we earned 50,000 record sales. So we actually just took it upon ourselves to make a record and to hit the road. And I still think that's a big part of it, especially now, is just like connecting and having that sort of visceral feeling between, you know, the fan and the artist. I think that's huge. So we were all young enough and not having any other commitments or tie downs that we were like, let's just buy a van,
right?
Let's hit the road and let's just get in front of as many people. I mean, our first shows were just like this.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a bartender hanging out with some waitress, and they would think, they'd be like, oh, that was fantastic. Thank you so much. And you know, we would get paid nothing, and you know, but those two people would tell people,
So. Wow, very cool. Yeah. So people need to. So what you say is people need to be out there. Performing, recording, things like that. It's not just going to come to them.
Absolutely. I mean, no. I think it's about the material. So ultimately, aside from that, also, it's about having great songs. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about Aerosmith before, but it's of the vibe. It's the way they play. It's the way they look on stage. But it's also the song's got to be great.
Right. So. And you got to be able to connect with your audience as well. You got to find the audience.
Absolutely.
Right. Because not everybody loves every kind of music, but... But yeah, and obviously if you want to succeed, although, you know, being an artist, you want to create what's inside. You don't really think about the market of it. But I think at the same time, if you want to succeed, you have to be aware of what's popular out there.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because otherwise you're going to make music that is great and you love it, but it's going to be only for you.
Yep.
You know, so I read the book by Gene Simmons, and he said how they totally changed Kiss a few times until they fine-tuned to what the market wanted, and that's how they broke through, you know. So, I mean, I think at a certain point you got to start treating your band as a business.
I mean, I think different artists, like Kiss is a perfect example of just like a marketing machine.
Right.
Essentially, they created all the merchandise before they even made the music.
Right.
It was like they had the look and everything down. That was brilliant.
Right.
Know? That's the type of thing it was. But if you look at Nirvana, it was more just
the music,
primal
itself.
Music, artists, the guys, something special. So I think it's understanding what kind of artist you are first, and then being able to work with people that can at least help mold your vision.
No, exactly. You know, and I mean, what they did is more like a commercial thing, obviously, and they succeeded, but they don't have revolutionary music like Nirvana did.
Right.
So that's the thing, is that, you know, at the same time, you want to think, well, do I want to make changes? Do I want to make an improvement, something new? And when Nirvana came on the scene, nobody had done anything like that before, right? It was pretty original music.
Yeah.
That grunge coming out of Seattle and everything. You know, you had Pearl Jam and all them. But it was new type of music. I remember.
Absolutely. Well, right now, it's the same exact time. So, you know your trends, like when you're old, and, you know, you live through enough trends. It's the first time I can actually say
you're even wearing plaid.
I know. Well,
today it could be Seattle, like this weather and your outfit. It's like, you know, all we need is some rain.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the Kurt Cobain documentary is on HBO tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I got to tell my daughter, she loves him. Okay, so let's. So we're talking about Rev Theory.
Yeah,
that's the that's the name now.
That's the band,
right? And so let's play a song. You have. Because I want to hear what kind of music you guys play. Okay. I'm intrigued now.
Yeah, watch the video.
So it's called Something New.
Yeah.
Is that like your new song?
It's actually something older. It's not necessarily brand new, but it's it's pretty new as far as what we put out and what we've been supporting. So yeah, we're actually just in the process of finishing up a record right now. Yeah, so that's like the most recent thing that we had released. So,
okay, cool. Yeah. And so when was this released? I seen... published 2013.
Yeah.
December. Wow.
Right.
So this has been around for a while.
Yeah.
250,000 views, more than that.
Right.
Yeah. That, on YouTube. That's pretty cool. The song is Something New by Rev Theory. So let's hear a couple minutes of it and see what it's about. Awesome, man. I'm cutting it short because I still want to... there's a lot to talk about. And we're getting closer to the end. Now, are you the singer?
No.
The band?
No,
so
you
play the guitar.
Yeah, and then
obviously,
I write.
Obviously, you do quite a bit because the guitar is very dominant.
It has to be.
Yeah.
That was the MO.
Right. So that's your style. Yeah. But this is cool because, I mean, this is what's popular today, right? I mean, this type of music. Or it has been for a while. And because I mean this style is probably from back in the 90s still, right?
Definitely, like, yeah.
I mean, yeah, like post Nirvana type of
exactly.
Thing.
Exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Very cool. And so how many guys in the band? Four?
There's four guys, but then we have another touring guy, so there's five live.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Have you considered adding a woman to the band?
Me?
Well, we were talking.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I'll just be a hype girl. It's fine.
You'll be the group.
Call me. I'm available.
I'm in.
Hi.
She's looking for a gig. So
yes.
Just putting it out there.
I'm not busy enough. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
So add more
so
things.
So you need to go on the road.
Right. Yeah, now I have to go away too.
Wow. So this song, now if people want to find it, they can go, I guess, on YouTube. But where, if they want to download it and stuff to the...
Yeah,
iTunes and stuff
is great.
Like that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's probably the best.
Cool.
Yeah.
And when's the album coming out?
I'm hoping like September. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have a release date yet, but we're just finishing right now. So
yeah. How long does it take to do an album from writing it, from when you start writing the songs actually until you're done recording and mixing and everything?
It's probably like a six month process. Yeah,
right.
Like straight through.
Right.
You know. So I was always like, if I work my ass off for 6 months,
right,
I can earn like a year and a half or 2 year.
There you go.
Like touring vacation. Essentially.
Yeah.
It never lands. So that was the old mentality. But now we're it's a little shifted a little bit. We haven't been as intensively working on writing and delivering a record.
Mm.
So it's been more single driven because it's just the way the market is.
Cool.
We don't really want, we love records and the fans love records, but it's like, it doesn't really make sense as much anymore financially.
I know. So you got to go on the road, right? I mean, that's how musicians make their money. They say you don't make money from record sales anymore, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is your experience with the band what inspired Mangler Nation?
Oh, yes.
Okay, let's hear about that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so, well, that's exactly what it was. I mean, we were on the road and, you know, it would be a joke, essentially. Just getting mangled is just getting effed up. I mean, kind of, it's just getting really out of your mind. And then we started joking about that on the road. People just started calling us the Manglers. They're like, hey, the Manglers are coming to town. What's up, Manglers? Like, you know. Uh-huh. And so we started joking around. And then in Detroit, probably 2009, my bass player, Maddie, and me, we ended up just coming up with a concept that Manglers was a group of superheroes that all fought for your right to party. And there was different guys like Cocaine Commander and X-Men and Beer Berserker. So we kind of conceived like a concept of a cartoon, an animated series. So that's where it all started, really, this whole sort of thing that we've been doing now.
Yeah.
And now it's shifted. You know, you talk about shifting and pivoting and stuff like that, and it's turned into a podcast and a radio show.
Wow, so, very cool. So what is Mangler Nation exactly?
Yeah, well, Mangler Nation is just, it's a show. I mean, really, it's a sketch radio show revolved around people's crazy party stories. So, like, we were talking about war stories. You know, we'd have one of you guys on and tell us a crazy story. It really revolves around the good times.
Yeah.
You know, like tell us the craziest party story you've ever had. And then what we'll do is we'll take that story and then we'll edit it. We'll add sound design. And we basically brought like a This American Life kind of BBC element to a satirical element, but like that journalistic approach to people's party stories. So that's the idea.
You should probably interview two drunk girls.
Well,
just saying,
right?
So you're on our whiteboard of guests,
right?
Potential guests.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just throwing myself into everybody's projects.
Yeah, you've
Call
got
me.
To. You've got
Call
to.
Me.
Shameless.
Gotta be out there. Yeah.
So shameless.
Nobody else is gonna do it for you.
No.
You might as well, you know. Yeah. Everybody's got to promote their own brand, you know.
Exactly.
So what's going? You guys have something going on tomorrow for this, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. Well, tomorrow's Cinco de Mangle. And we're doing an event down at Mom's Bar. It's actually a really cool spot. It's, first of all, it's called Mom's, which we think is funny.
Uh-huh.
And our first one we did a few weeks ago, we had a porn star, Sabrina Marie, and then we had a comedian, Darren Capozzi. So we find that's a pretty good dichotomy of like a comedian and a porn star, a rock star.
Right.
So
they usually get along. Yeah.
Exactly. And then our host, The Wave, he's like a straight kind of very Howard Stern guy. So he's like shocked by like a lot of the stuff, which is really funny.
He's shocked?
Well, he's shocked in a way that's like, you know, he smokes weed and drinks. So a lot of these, like, you know, a lot of these people are like, I was webcamming, and the next thing, you know what I mean? I took this bag of Coke, and I put it up my, you know, it's like, and he just, his mouth just dropped.
Yeah, he needs to hang out more around porn stars, then he wouldn't be so shocked.
He's going to get
They're
that experience.
Like that.
Yeah. He's going to be jaded in like 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tomorrow people can go to this?
Yeah.
And then just like divulge their deepest, darkest secrets to you?
Yeah. Like it's like The Moth, but about really, really crazy things. So it's like a really like dark sex, rock, drugs, and rock and roll Moth kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a podcast that you're doing in a public place.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, okay. We record it live. So we want to get the live feel. So it's like a talk show, essentially, a little bit of a mini talk show. And then we take that and we take it and we edit it out. But we keep the laughter in. You know?
I see.
Yeah.
And, but you do it like in Mom's. Is that like a restaurant or a bar?
Mom's is a bar. Yeah, it's like a local pub in West LA.
Okay.
Just on Santa Monica Boulevard. Yeah, and it's perfect. They got a little fireplace and two couches in the back in this small kind of seedy room.
Uh-huh.
So it's perfect for this, you know. And you just have a bunch of people kind of watching. Like it's like party pornography or something.
Yeah, wow. You know, this reminds me to go a little on the tangent here. Because this reminded me of me. About, you talk about parties and things like that. And on the app, Hi There, I connected with someone whose name is Domina, and she's a dominatrix. So I figured, I asked her, I said, are you here just for professional reasons, or are you open to getting high with someone cool, you know? She's like, no, I'm not, you know, I'm not here for professional things or anything. But then I figured, you know, to get her interest, I should show some interest in that. So she started telling me she does like fetish parties and things like that. So I went on her website and I thought, I don't want to connect with someone like that, even to get high with, okay? Because these people are screwed up, man. You don't know. You know, when you're like, when you need to get involved in such hardcore or heavy duty domination or submission or something like that. Something is amiss there, I think, you know? I mean, I love sex and everything, yeah. but you know, I mean, this is like too much. So, but then you talk about those parties. That's how I was thinking about that. So,
well, yeah, you could come and watch, you know, maybe you can watch her do her thing. You know?
Right.
Well, you should come down tomorrow night.
Yeah, I should, huh?
We were talking about parties, not as big.
Right.
You know, this big one you were talking about in the beginning.
Right.
I don't like those either.
Yeah.
I don't like
yeah,
those huge,
too much,
especially
right?
everyone's in white. It's very pristine. It's
yeah.
Like, yeah. Makes me want to really get intoxicated, really. Yeah. It's the only way I can kind of fit in any social situation.
Yeah. I mean, even for me, that's a weird environment.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
But
what, like where I went yesterday?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You mean if you went with Lauren or a couple of friends and stuff, you it wouldn't be your scene?
Well, I don't like the idea of, like, it's like a premise, like, that I must speak to single men and we must be engaging and we must do all these things. I'm like, I'd rather not have all that pressure.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Speed dating.
See, because you go out a lot anyway. I mean, you see single people everywhere.
Right.
So, yeah. So it's not like, I know, it kind of like, but it kind of felt good in a way because you also felt everybody's here pretty much for the same thing. So maybe their guards are down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't
That's
know.
True, too.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, but who knows? Anyway, so tell people where, when and where again. It's at Mom's Bar.
Yeah, Mom's Bar
That's
in West
Santa
LA.
Monica. Yeah. West LA.
Yeah, West LA. And then we have, you know, I sent Jen the flyer, but we'll probably put that up on all our socials and, you know, Instagram at Mango Nation and Twitter Mango Nation.
Okay.
All that good stuff, you know.
Facebook yeah. Yeah. Very cool. And how long have you been doing this one?
Well, we actually we're just about to launch. So we've actually been compiling content.
Oh, over really?
The last, yeah. I mean, it's a whole, like, how do you get a good story from someone? You start realizing, right. like, it's not easy. You know, a lot of people have lived, but they don't remember right. the stories, which yeah. is a big part of it. And
I
then,
don't remember anything.
That's what you, right. mean, you talk
Nothing.
To I know. And so how do you explain when people write biographies and they don't remember words that they said? I mean, that's bullshit.
Well, I mean, I could tell you weird things and, like, very specific weird things that have happened in my life. But if you asked me about yesterday, I'd be like, oh,
yeah.
what did
no,
I
know.
Remember.
I know. But that's so that's amazing. That's why yeah. every time I read someone's biography, I'm like, there's no way you remember these things. You know, you're probably just making them up or something, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but then some people journal, I guess, throughout their lives.
Some
you know,
people
so,
do.
Yeah.
Some people are great at it, though. That's and those are the people that we're finding now. So now it's like, I know a guy. Yeah. I know a guy over, he lives in a boat down in Venice. Uh-huh. You got to go see him. So
really?
We take the recorder and we go see this guy who lives in a boat with a big beard. Uh-huh. And he's one of those guys that remembers the story wow. and can tell it. You
yeah.
know what I mean? So, like, you just start finding your way to people that are really crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
So. Cool. And what time does it start tomorrow?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay. So Cinco de, what did we say?
Cinco de Mango.
De Mango.
Yeah,
de Mango.
Yeah, Mango. That's right. So just come on down.
Okay.
And be a lot of music and drinks and everyone just having fun.
That sounds good, man. So now, do you have, are you able to make a living just from being in the band and stuff, or do you have any other stuff that you do?
I do some writing. I mean, I songwrite and produce, and I do a lot of film and TV.
You're able
stuff.
To earn some.
I'm able to get by. Yeah,
get by, which is important. So at least you're doing what you love. And, you know,
absolutely. No, it's. I mean, as long as you can stay in a creative space, like we were talking, you were saying 7 years and didn't know, you know,
right.
you weren't planning it, and now you're here 7 years later. It's like the same. I never saw myself as a kid being in a band or, you know, writing music, even though I love music.
Yeah.
So. I'm grateful just to be able to get a chance.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, Julian, thank you so much for joining us. We're totally out of time.
Yeah.
Julian Jorgensen, where can people find out more about you?
I have all my socials too, so just Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff.
Okay.
Just your name.
Just my name. Julian Jorgensen with E's. Yeah. It's all the E's.
All E's.
Yeah, all E's.
Okay.
Yeah, well, everyone's get the A for Julian
right,
and
exactly.
the O for Jorgensen. So.
Right.
Yeah. I've been saying that. But and then the band's just Rev Theory. And check it out.
Awesome. Well, you're a lot of fun, man. We wish you a lot more success.
Thank you. Yeah.
You know, and you're doing... I'm always inspired by people that do things that they love to do, you know. And the song, again, was Something New.
Something New.
The band is Rev Theory.
Yep.
And you guys should check it out on YouTube and iTunes and everything else. And and go buy some stuff so the man can continue making a living at this.
Thanks, Sam.
All right. Well, Julian, thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Jen.
Of course.
See everybody tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.